Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Back with you here on a Monday on KMBZ 1019. Next story comes to us out of Alexandria, Virginia. This story is a mess. It was a perfect storm of errors and lapses in judgment that led to this happening. But long story short, initially, this was the worst case scenario of what was going to happen when you had jails that were concerned about COVID-19. You know, we talked about that earlier in the summer, that there were some prisoners that were being let out of prison over concerns about COVID-19. And there were a lot of discussions about whether that was fair and who you should consult. In this particular case, you have a guy who was accused of raping someone he knew late last year and who had been held in jail awaiting for his case to go forward. So he had been charged, but not convicted yet. Then COVID-19 hits, fast forward to the spring, and his attorneys ask for he to be released from behind bars while he's awaiting trial. And then we get to, again, the worst possible case happening.
Yeah, and I, for the life of me, cannot understand why, with somebody who's accused of a violent crime like this, why those are the people that are in cases like this able to get out. Because the worst that you're talking about is that he went after the woman who had accused him of rape and killed her.
Killed her, yeah. So this guy's name is Ibrahim Bauchi. I think I'm mispronouncing it, but I don't care. He had reportedly been in a relationship with Carla Dominguez before this incident, October 10th. She told police that he broke into her apartment and sexually assaulted her. So he's charged with 6 felony counts. He surrenders on October 21st and was being held without bond. He maintained his innocence. And then his lawyer said that because of COVID-19, visitation had been curtailed at the jail where he was being held, and they needed to meet with him before trial, and that jails were potential hotspots for COVID-19, although there had been no cases yet at the jail he was being held in. So they asked the judge, Nolan Dawkins, to allow this guy to post bond. So the judge agreed on April 19th to set a secured bond for $25,000 over the objection of prosecutors. The judge did not order electronic monitoring for this suspect, who was charged with 6 counts in connection to a violent rape. He just said, hey, I need you to stay at your house and don't leave except to meet with your lawyers and don't have any contact with the woman that you allegedly sexually assaulted.
Now, there's so much, and there's an update to this story as well about what's going on with him at this moment, which isn't much, but we'll get to that. And the thing is that, I mean, for the judge to have made that decision, you know, to say no monitoring, no nothing, for somebody that was held without bond on purpose, I mean,
initially,
you go back and go, okay, well, you know, coronavirus, sure, violent crime, we're pretty sure you did it. Now, granted, constitutionally, he is an innocent man. Okay, he's not been convicted. He has not been tried. He is an innocent man in the eyes of the system right now. However, that's the reason why there are crimes for which, you know, accusations for which you get no bond. You don't have the ability to do that, because if they're pretty sure you did it and it's a violent enough crime, that's why that system is in place. So it obviously did not work in this guy's case, and they let him out and he killed her. And I got to admit, when I first saw this story, my thought was, okay, so you in order to silence her, because obviously you can't convict somebody of the rape. You can, but it's extraordinarily difficult without the accuser there. So yes. In order to get rid of the rape charge, you're going to murder somebody. Did it not occur to you that then you would be facing a murder charge? I mean, there's no logic to it at all, but now I think we have a better idea of why.
Well, so here was another mistake that was made. Okay, there were just multiple mistakes that had these mistakes not been made, this woman may still be alive. So it's in April that he's released with no electronic monitoring. In early May, police in Greenbelt, which is another city, find this guy behind the wheel of his car at a Wendy's drive-thru, and they allege that he rammed one of their cruisers with a car. He's arrested that night, charged with multiple assault counts, drunken driving, and traffic charges, but he's released on bond after one night in the county jail. That incident should have triggered, I know it's confusing because we're talking about two different cities, but that incident in Greenbelt should have triggered a motion from the other city prosecutors to revoke his bond. But no one told Alexandria, the city where he was initially charged, that he had been arrested again.
And part of the problem there is that you're talking about not only two different districts, you're talking about two states, because Greenbelt's in Maryland. And so, yeah, most of this happened on the Virginia side. And therein lies the problem, because lines of communication sometimes break down.
July 29th, his victim, Dominguez, was found shot to death outside her apartment. And they looked for him for several days. They asked for the public's help in locating him. They did eventually find him as they moved in to arrest him. He then turned the gun on himself, and he died over the weekend.
Yep.
So
shot himself.
And you know what? Yeah.
If you're going to kill yourself, go ahead. Leave her out of it.
Right.
I mean, again, it's hard to step into the mind of a violent criminal if you're not one. So I'm not going to say, yeah, I mean, come on, this guy should have seen. He should have known better. Because, you know, obviously something is irrevocably broken in that dude's brain. But still in all, if that's where this is going to end, and how do you not think that when they let you out and she all of a sudden ends up dead, that you're not going to be suspect number one? So if that's the way this is going to end with you taking yourself out, save us all the trouble, leave her alone and go ahead and do it.
Right. So the judge initially, who was the one that let this guy out without electronic monitoring, had actually retired from the bench in June. Because my next question would have been, what about this judge?
Yeah.
Like, this woman is getting no justice anywhere. You know, even the judge that let the guy out with no electronic monitoring retired in June. Now, that was before she was still alive then, but still, I mean, he stepped down from the bench in June.
That's
so there's
timing.
Not even going to be one of those like Brock Turner, hey, get the guy off the bench kind of things happening, because he's already off the bench. So it's not an issue. And it's just interesting that in the grand scheme of who you want to let out from behind bars because of COVID-19, you know, we've had discussions before about rape suspects who had been convicted and done 30 years behind bars and about whether that guy should be released.
Yeah.
But this guy, you know, again, no bond had been set and it was a violent alleged attack.
Not that this would make it in any way better, but I'm just curious about this because, as you said, there's very little that anybody can do to punish the judge now for making a horribly bad decision or a series of horribly bad decisions, because the judge isn't on the bench anymore. But, and I'm asking this to the universe at large, and if you happen to be a lawyer and can answer this one, can her family sue him for some kind of legal malpractice? Normally, legal malpractice is lawyers only, not judges, because they've got pretty broad leeway to make the decisions that they do. But if somebody could take that to court and say his decision making was so blatantly wrong and should have had some kind of some kind of knowledge to be able to look forward and say this is a really bad idea and didn't, and it, you know, let him out there with no monitoring and no nothing else, can the rape victim and eventual murder victim's family go after the judge civilly?
If anybody knows, that's a really good question. 576-7798, or you can text in 913-576-7798. And if you want to weigh in on the story, feel free. We can take your calls coming up after news. Now that he is off the bench, because, if I'm this family of this woman, I mean, she was wronged in the system failed her. I mean, everyone failed her in this case. And so do you go after the lack of communication? Because you could go there, too. You could go to the lack of communication between those two counties and those two states that led to Alexandria not finding out that this guy had been arrested again. So you've got two things that went wrong there before the guy even committed the murder. So could you go after the judge, even though he's off the bench now? And could you go after these two cities that didn't communicate? If anybody has, and should you be able to, if you don't know for sure, do you feel like somebody is at fault here beyond the suspect for this woman's death? We'll get to your calls and your texts coming up after the news. 10:34 here with you on a Monday on KMBZ. We'll get to your calls here in just a quick sec about the story out of Virginia. But first, and a couple of you are asking us about this on the text line, there has been a major explosion in Baltimore where one person has been killed.
Yeah, it's an area in Baltimore where most of the it's obviously it's a residential area, but it's row houses. So there is zero, you know, space in between them. It's just one's built right up next to another one. And this blast, they said it was, in fact, a gas explosion, and it just completely destroyed three of them in the middle of a block. And I mean, yeah. it looks like a missing tooth is what it looks like.
Are you looking at this video? Have you seen this video?
Yeah,
of this?
It's incredible. The amount of destruction that can be done. And I mean, obviously in no time at all, they said at least one person was killed and several more, including children, maybe trapped inside. And so we're trapped in the wreckage of this place. But really, I mean, you can still see the brick walls on either side of this entire mm-hmm. block full of row houses, and they look relatively untouched. I'm sure windows are blown out, but in the middle, there is nothing. It's just debris.
Completely gone. Completely. I mean, there's a shed standing on the back of the property, which amazingly didn't fall, but there is nothing left. You're right. Missing tooth is a very good description of how this looks. It's just this one piece out of the middle of this block that is gone. And so last I'd heard, five people were trapped, like we said, including children possibly. Two people were transported to a hospital in serious condition. One person pronounced dead at the scene. We'll continue to follow this and see what comes out of this as we go through the day today. But the video of this is just incredible. So going back to the story that we were talking about here for a bit, the story out of Alexandria, Virginia, where you have a rape suspect who was accused of attacking a woman that he knew back last fall. So he is put in jail on no bond on six charges, I believe, connected to this case. So a judge decided no bond for this guy. Amidst COVID-19 in April, his lawyers asked that he be released on bond and sent home out of concerns because of COVID-19. Prosecutors objected. A judge agreed to go ahead and let him go home, but did not put him on electronic monitoring, just said basically, you know, behave and don't contact your victim. Ultimately, because of another error in communication that should have kept him and should have put him back behind bars, he in July kills his victim, and after police found him, he killed himself.
Yeah, and I mean, the case had so many things go wrong. A bunch of people texted in during the news and said that, generally speaking, judges are immune from lawsuit, and it's a weird thing. Those suits have gone through before. They've rarely been successful because it's kind of a common law concept that judges don't get sued for decisions that they make relating to a particular case. But man, if there were ever reason to challenge that kind of immunity, it would be a story like this where so many things went so glaringly wrong. And you want to protect people from the virus. You want to keep it from spreading in jails or prisons if you can. But if you're dealing with somebody who is in without bond, that's got to raise a red flag.
Right. So we'll get to your calls, 576-7798, or you can text in 913-576-7798. Let's go to James in KCK. James, thanks for hanging on there for a bit.
Hey, no worries. Good morning, you guys.
Yeah, so what's going on, James?
Here's my idea or my thought. So I think maybe if these judges or the people that had the oversights in this case had a little bit more skin in the game, maybe these decisions would be made differently. And my question would be, given that they judges or whatever can't be held criminally or civilly liable, maybe change the law where if they don't make reasonable concessions to keep the public safe, they could be charged as an accessory after the fact or something like that, where at least it might give them a moment of pause before they're like, oh, it's not a big deal, this guy will be fine. I think if they have some skin in the game where their freedom would be at jeopardy as well, they may make decisions a little bit more rationally.
Well, I'd love to see it. I think part of the problem is you'd have to define what's reasonable, and that's not an easy thing to do. You know, it's not an easy standard.
I think in this case, reasonable would be electronic monitoring.
Yeah, at least.
No kidding. Yep.
Yep. Thank you. I don't disagree with you. I just think that it would be a very tricky thing to do, you know, to try to define, because what's reasonable to one person might not be to somebody else. And, you know, that's the kind of thing where you'd almost like to have some kind of a review panel. But again, for somebody who's retired, review panels, all they can do is censure you or disbar you or fire you. There's not very much that they could do to somebody who's already off the bench.
Yeah, and we've had some high-profile cases of this where we've had to talk about judge, and it's almost always connected to sexual assault cases.
Yeah,
where we have this discussion about judges. In fact, there was one here where there was the judge that we talked about who described we had some teenage girls that were involved in a case, and he described them as being the, I can't think of the word, not accuser, aggressor. We had a judge here who described teenage girls as being an aggressor. In a rape case, and so we had that discussion. I believe there was a case out of Pennsylvania where we had a guy who related to, I know this sounds a lot like Brock Turner, but we had a case there where the judge said, you know, he comes from a good family. This boy comes from, I think he raped a girl at a party. This boy comes from a good family. How could he possibly have done this? I mean, that we talk about this a lot, it seems like. Well, not a lot, but we talk about it with sexual assault cases, it seems like, with male judges. There's no... Luckily, what ends up happening a lot is they end up either being transferred to a different kind of court, where I guess they can't do as much damage, so to speak, or they end up just retiring from the bench.
Right. And you know, going back to that reasonability argument, it's one thing to say, okay, if we're going to try to do this, if we're going to try to thin out the jail population as much as possible, why not have that line of demarcation be violence? You know,
if it's a
nonviolent crime that you're in there awaiting trial for, go home, you know,
or felony versus misdemeanor. I mean, there's some very obvious lines that we draw in the law. And maybe
the problem there is that nobody defined that beforehand. Nobody said, okay, because we are in this unprecedented time, we're going to allow for some people to be out of jail who normally wouldn't be. Here's where we're going to start, you know?
Yeah.
Here's the list of the guys we're never going to let out until their trial happens, and then we'll see what goes on. But yeah, there's got to be some kind of oversight, some kind of guidance from, and maybe that's where the bar should step in and say, you know what, here we go, and this is the way we're going to do this. Actually, now it'd be legislature.
Yeah. Let's go back to the phones, 576-7798. We'll go to Gardner next. Get Aaron on the line with us. Hey, Aaron, thanks a lot for calling.
Hey, I just wanted to make a point. Here in the last few weeks, everybody keeps trying to hold people who don't do their job correctly feet to the fire, which I understand. But most of us, when we do our jobs, if we don't do them correctly, we are reprimanded or we are fired. Now with police officers, and we're talking about judges, and you're talking about a whole other host of people, when you do your job incorrectly, now you could be thrown into prison. If you do your job incorrectly, you could be sued liable, and you could lose everything that your family's ever worked for. So with that point being said, who is going to do those jobs in the future? Because whenever I go to work, if I do something wrong and I screw up, I could possibly get fired. But none of those other two things are ever going to happen. I'm not going to go to prison, and I'm not going to get sued. And the same thing when you guys do your jobs. If you screw up, you're going to get fired maybe and reprimanded, but you're not held on those two levels of liability financially and criminally. And
well,
so what's going to happen is, who's going to volunteer to do those jobs? No,
well, I think plenty of people are going to be judges.
You're always going to have cops.
Plenty of people will still want to be judges.
Right. And the difference is, when you screw up on the job, or when I screw up on the job, or when Jamie screws up on the job, nobody dies.
No one gets hurt.
Yeah, but here's the thing, is not everybody dies whenever a police officer screws up either.
No, I understand. But it's the ones that do that end up in prison sometimes. Rarely, but it does happen.
Yeah, and I got to let you go, but to throw that out there, George Floyd had enough fentanyl in his system to OD, and the side effects of OD is restricted breath. The police officer could get off on this.
You know what else is causes restricted breath? A knee on your neck. I don't think the cop's going to get off on this one. I mean, he might. We've certainly seen it in the past. When you take a look at what happened, the Rodney King verdict, I guess, is probably the most obvious one. But there have been others as well where officers have been acquitted or juries end up hung or whatever because people don't like sending cops to jail.
Right.
And I realize this is far afield from what we're talking about, but still, there are reasons why there are people who are dissatisfied with the way that the system works.
And I don't, it doesn't bother me that we put a higher level of accountability on jobs that have people's lives at stake, you know?
Yeah.
And it doesn't bother me that a judge in a case like this would have to think more carefully about the decisions that they're making because it's life and death. With the idea that, I mean, it's the same thing, you know, with doctors, you know, I mean, and that's why doctors carry medical malpractice insurance. In fact, we've talked about other jobs that should carry it. But I'm okay with judges having to think it through a little bit more, knowing that they could face some consequences. I don't think there's going to be any shortage of people wanting to be on the bench, though.
No, and I don't think there's going to be any shortage of people wanting to be cops either. And
right.
there just always are. I mean, you could make that case about anything, but there still have to be restrictions and there still has to be liability for somebody who screws up so badly that it costs somebody a life.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.